Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to The Big Show. I'm Ewan Rankin, and I'm here to discuss the week's technology with a fantastic panel, as usual. Back from his sojourn, I don't know where he actually went, but...
No, I can't remember either.
He's more than welcome. It's Mr. James Hart. Where were you, sir?
I'm trying to remember. I think I had an engagement.
Yes, but you weren't here anyway. Did you have a good week off?
No. Oh. Well, no, it wasn't a really week off at all. I had a bank holiday where I worked, and it went downhill since then. When stuff breaks, it becomes rather annoying, and stuff has broken lots this week. I'm an engineer supposed to be able to fix it.
That's a Discovery Channel program, isn't it?
When stuff breaks.
Lots of remote working this week, James.
I've been doing remote working. I've been getting into the thick of it. I've been doing all kinds of stuff. Yeah, you name it, I've been there.
I've sat down today and done some work. I've done lots of work, actually, but I've sat in front of channel 520 through to 545 on Skybox, and it's tut. I mean, it's absolute guy building a plane, repo wars, just...
Could I ask why?
Well, I just wanted something on in the background, and I put the Paralympics on as well. But I did... the one thing that got me this morning was I really, 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 everything that was on this morning, and Great Britain were doing it, I wanted to see blind football because that has intrigued me no end. How the hell does that work? But is there a bell in the ball or something like that? But
yes, there is.
They didn't show it.
Britain
are doing it, and they didn't show it.
I saw something a week or so ago about how some of the teams are learning to handle or deal with the ball in such a way so that the bell doesn't ring until the last possible moment.
Isn't it?
That's good thinking, though. I like that. That's within the rules. But I'll tell you what did amaze me this morning. I saw a Russian dude do 100 metres backstroke with no arms in a minute and 13 seconds. I couldn't do it in a minute and 13. I'm a good swimmer, and I couldn't do it in a minute and 13 seconds. And this guy did it with no arms. And then, top it off, I'm sitting watching a Canadian cyclist who's 60 years of age, does a minute and 20 seconds for a kilometre cycle, and he's only got one frigging leg. You talk about superhumans, that's what the Paralympics is. Those people are superhuman because they do it. I mean, they do it faster than 95% of the population who do it able-bodied. Unbelievable. Yeah.
I know.
That's got nothing to do with hello, Sarah. Hello, Alex, sorry. How are you, mate?
I'm very good. I'm rather excited about the Paralympics, and as you do, these absolutely inspirational human beings.
Now, when I watch breakfast television, mate, and I see them doing the sports news from the Olympic Park, is your house the one on the left of the stadium or the right of the stadium?
Yes, mine's the one right in the middle of the stadium when they get a bit loud. I tell you, I'll tell you what, they half make a lot of noise, these noisy neighbours of mine.
Do you enjoy that plane with the sparklers?
Oh, it's great.
And the fireworks?
I'll tell you what, when that bloke zip-wired past my house last night, I was amazed. It was great.
Wow, it went past your house from the tower. Really?
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, you are a bit close to the Olympic Park.
Yeah.
Open the window and touch it. There's a good fellow. Next to him, we've got Sarah. How are you doing, girl?
I'm very well. I'm actually not that far. I'm the other side of Alex's house from the stadium.
Right.
I'm not that far away either. So, but yes, some wife's seen of it. Very good. We've won a gold medal already, which is always a good result.
Excellent. Well, who won the first gold medal then?
Sarah. I've forgotten the surname.
Didn't the swimmer win a silver as well?
We've won two silvers,
a bronze, and a gold so far. I remember.
I thought Jonathan Fox won a gold about 7 o'clock. He was backstroke for Great Britain.
We won the gold already. Cool.
Oh well. Yeah. Anyway, there we go. We're already top of the medals table. And last but by no means least, Eric Lanigan. How you doing, mate?
Hello, I'm doing well.
Good. Have you had a good week playing games or not?
Well, I finished that one. So I was actually very close to finishing it. And then I did. And I didn't know it was the end was coming up that soon. So then it was a big letdown because the end boss battle was like 5 minutes long. And then the whole game was over and I had nothing else to do.
Oh, mate.
That's a terrible feeling.
Is that why you got nothing? You're reverting to type now. You're back to nothing in the cool thingies.
Exactly.
You've got an hour.
Hopefully last week's double cool thing was so cool that it still got you.
No,
hard at work.
You've got an hour to try and find some of this fella. The week in technology. It's been an interesting week because IFA has been on, hasn't it? Is it IFA? Is that right?
T.
Yeah.
Is that IFA or something? Is it
IFA? That's right. I can't remember what IFA stands for, but never mind. NASA though have tested 116-foot wide parachutes to try and get the Orion spacecraft back to Earth. And apparently it all went really, really well. They dropped it from 30,000 feet, free fall for 10,000, and then they opened the big chutes up. So there you go. If you're an astronaut and you're going to ride Orion, then those three pieces of silk are going to save your life. And also at IFA, there has been a Toshiba 84-inch television with 4K resolution. I'm sure I'm not doing it justice here at 720p. But that's it. No price, of course, because it's a bit like CES, really, isn't it, Aoife?
Yeah.
There's no price, and there's no word on availability, but it's going
to
be a
coming to a
model.
Pub near you.
3,840 by 2,160 pixels, apparently.
Yeah, wow.
Lovely.
But you've got to go outside to really appreciate it.
Yeah, back up a bit. And... Nokia are saying that things are about to change. They've got an event coming up, but we don't know what it is. It's a girl on a bike. Apparently, there's been a blurry cam picture, and apparently, if things are changing to that, Nokia are going to have some financial trouble next year. There you go.
That's what they mean by things are about to change.
Now, were they sure to patent that? Because, see, Apple has already a patent on that exact shape with the exact round rectangles in black and white. So I think just by being yellow... they managed to get around that, but did they patent it is the question.
I've patented blurry yellow crap. I'm going to be taking them to court first thing in the Monday morning.
Yeah, well, that's got triangular corners.
Plus the word change. I'm sure I understand that Apple have patented that as well. So, and no one else will be allowed to use that one from here forward.
Well, no, it's an interesting case to start with, I guess, as the first subject, because today, or yesterday, Google were awarded, I want to make sure I get the title of this right, Automatic Object Recognition in Videos. So they've come up with an algorithm that recognises a man, a pole, and a car. And they've patented that. But
only during video moving images rather than...
Well, I want to know, does this mean that every day I go out into the street, I'm breaking Google's patent? Because I can see that that's a man, that's a pole, and that's a car. And there's a discussion.
No, every time you watch something which has been snuck in, what's that, product placement? Basically, Google has patented product placement.
It's time to play everyone's favorite game, man, pole, or car.
Is that
so,
like...
So Ewan and Alex, as the photographers, remember that you can't take photographs and publish them that have a man, a pole, and a car in it in future.
Well, no, that's pretty cool, actually, because that's kind of like rock, paper, scissors, isn't it? Because... pole beats car, no question. Car beats man, and man with a hacksaw would beat pole. So,
or car.
Let's have a quick game of man, pole, car.
What happens if that's a woman wearing a hat, pushing a bike, wearing trousers?
Oh, good point.
Right, and this is a completely sexist issue. Sarah, you missed the point there. Come on.
And pole could be dressed up as well.
Yeah. And then it's also xenophobic.
What happens if
that's
a Russian?
Yeah.
It's a Russian.
Yeah. Well, it's not a pole.
Oh, no. I can't believe I waited for that.
And
I
also,
waited for
that
crap
car
joke.
Sign is, it's actually pointing to a truck.
Is it? Hang on. Let's go back.
It is above a truck. It is above the truck.
It is above the truck.
It says cars. So it can detect one man, one pole, and a bunch of cars. So if you find
it.
Sainsbury's car park.
Yeah.
Now, my point, when I saw this patent thing, I mean, normally when I see patents, they just make me angry because they're for some crap that's just like an idea off someone's head, and then they can patent troll it later on. But especially with this, with the ruling that has been in the Apple Samsung case this week, and $1 billion handed over, and there's no way on God's green earth that Apple has lost $1 billion worth in sales because of Samsung's actions. There is a culture of creating patents for utter crap, and then we are paying for those things to be tested, and we are also paying when they are upheld, because we're then paying inflated prices for electronics to pay back the money that they're having to pay out to make up for the patent claim. And the patent claim was unsure to begin with. If you want to talk about an unsafe conviction, you know, you look at the transcript and the interview between the guy that was foreman of the jury in the Apple Samsung case, and he is clearly saying, well, apparently there was one email from Samsung that said we should make it look less like an iPhone, and that was good enough for $1 billion worth of damages. Stuff
is a number.
Apparently, also, the judge can actually triple it if he finds that they're willful, and certainly from the emails that they're saying are around that actually they used to convict.
We have found you guilty of willful use of rounded corners.
No. I'm being serious.
Let me ask.
So it could end up being $3 billion.
Let me ask. Who has lost the greatest amount of money in Apple versus Samsung?
The consumer.
We have.
The taxpayer.
The taxpayer. All of Samsung and Apple's disputes, Germany, Britain, Australia, and America, various cities across America and states, have all been use of public taxpayers' money to use the court system to uphold a patent which was issued badly in the first place. And that's
I haven't heard anyone else make that point yet. But why not staff up the patent offices with competent people to begin with, not just rubber stamp everything and battle it out in court?
Do you know how many judges in the UK have sufficient qualification to accurately rule on patent cases?
Very few, I'd imagine.
Zero.
It's a specialist kind of law, isn't it?
There is one, and he was interviewed on Law on the Law Radio 4 Law Show. Law in Action. That's it. He was interviewed on that about last year sometime, and he's the only guy who really understands patent law in the UK.
And not to mention the ethical ramifications of holding this trial in Apple's home territory of Silicon Valley, you know, right down the, practically down the block from their headquarters, you know, where at a time, at a place where Apple is considered like the headlining poster child of American innovation, you know, I mean, obviously they there was a bit of and Steve Jobs just died and everyone's been mythologizing him. So there's this whole cult around Apple that's now it's no longer a cult following now. It's this mainstream feeling of like patriotism and everything. And in this case, it was totally misplaced.
Have you got like a sort of an element of judges in the in Silicon Valley that are like McCarthyist? The Koreans, they're all commie bastards. No?
Yeah, I was reading an article from
Remember, this is a jury trial. That was my point. These are just regular folks. So my point was even less qualified and even more biased when dealing with this kind of patent case.
Sarah?
I was reading an article earlier from an analyst firm in Korea, and they were saying that there could be a backlash against Apple in this because, and this could be really significant because it was in Korea and China where the Apple products first took off. So it could actually backfire on them, exactly from the point that Eric was saying. You know, it was seen to be hardly on neutral territory that this was decided. So they could hardly be impartial.
But it's really crazy, though, because Apple are still incredibly reliant on Japan and Korea and China for their part. So it's a little bit duplicitous for them to say, well, we don't like what Apple's doing, but we'll still sell them the parts because it makes us absolutely truckloads of money.
Do you reckon
I was also going to mention the fact that I think, the discussion before the show was very interesting. I think it's probably best that it didn't get included in the show because it was quite heated and would have taken up much of it. But it's interesting how the things have changed since Steve Jobs has died. And I think Apple have joined in this whole patent bandwagon and almost taken away. It's not so much as it was said. It's not really so much fanboys anymore. And the fanboys are getting really quite grumpy because it's not about the love of the product anymore. It's about making money and defending the rights.
Yep, and you know they fill the jurors' heads with rhetoric about, you know, innovation and don't steal my idea and hard-earned labor and all this stuff. you know, saying nothing to the fact that Apple's...
Don't let Johnny Foreigner steal our ideas.
Exactly. I mean, let's look at, you know, young little Steve Jobs, probably younger than I am now, walks into Xerox and says, I want that, I want that, I want that, I want that. Let's go back and let's get your photocopier started. No pun on Xerox, because we're copying that for the next 30 years. And then in every interview since then, he goes, oh, well, it was just obvious to us that as soon as we saw it, it was obvious. This is how computers would work from now on. Well, that's what everyone else said about the iPhone. You can't have that kind of a enormous double standard, not to mention all the direct ripoffs from less so Windows, but they get a couple minor features in there. And then they get, look at the notification center that pulls down from off the screen on the current iOS. I mean, it's a direct ripoff from Android. If someone had it before them, I don't know, but these ideas all come from somewhere and we all benefit from having a similar way of using things, similar art forms, graphically, meaning if rounded rectangles are in vogue, fine. And if they're sharp, fine. But these kind of things change over time. And we all have to have some kind of common language to use computers and use technology and not have every interface be so wildly different. Not to mention that these patents are unreadable and you can't even figure out what they're describing anyway.
This is fantastic for me because Thursday to Friday, I've got everyone here going, Apple are a bunch of bastards. And then tomorrow, everyone's going to go, Samsung are a bunch of bastards on the Mac show.
Here we go. It's a quick point, right? First of all, think about it. How many American jobs could have been created by Apple with that $1 billion? If they're so pro-America, pro-everything to do with innovation, pro, you know, I mean, in this country, I hope, I really do hope that anything as technical as a patent trial of this magnitude would be looked at by three high court judges specializing it. I don't know why that didn't go straight to the Supreme Court. I mean, you got some little fella in some patent office, you know, on some high street somewhere in downtown California somewhere. It's a big place downtown.
Sacramento, probably.
Exactly. Who has just got a bit of paper and they said, we want to patent rounded corners. Yeah, sure. Is that going to have any real, you know, is that going to be worth anything in years to come? Well, no, let's not really bother looking into this. Just stamp it because who cares about round corners? And now that's $1 billion. If Apple was so into US centric, which is basically why they've won this case on the basis of talking about, you know, us against them, well, why don't they, two things, why don't they invest that $1 billion and maybe giving those jobs to people that need them in America and actually make the components there? And secondly, if companies like Apple, not just Apple, but companies like Apple actually brought some of their money back into the country and paid tax on it, then there would be a little bit more to go around and that $1 billion really wouldn't matter to anybody.
But so they're lobbying hard for tax holidays.
That's my point.
Who wouldn't?
I wouldn't. With $1 billion in $100 billion in the bank, right, and an economy that's going down the drain, and you being one of the biggest producers of, well, basically you being one of the biggest profit makers from the economy in the state that it is in, if you want to keep that economy going, which is in your own interest, then you help that economy. You don't send the jobs out of the country. You don't send it to small places in China or Korea or wherever to get the cheapest price. What you do, you cut your profits by employing people within your own country. You don't make so much on each item, but you put that money back somewhere and you don't try tax avoidance. I won't say anything, you know, and they're not doing anything illegal at all, but you don't use tax avoidance as a method. Not in this situation.
Well, that's what it is, Alex, is that Apple is a supplier of amazing quality. I mean, it really is beautiful equipment they make.
Yeah,
but they also got their big toe in big business. They are big business. And I'm wondering at what point it became big business as opposed to, and this is where this comes back to the whole thing about the doing it for the fanboys. You know, not everybody had an Apple IIe. Not everybody had an original Apple Mac. And those people who had original Apple Macs probably still have them today underneath their desk. But there became a time when they made the things like the iPhone, and then that's when they realized that the bucks could come in thick and fast if they made it. And the fact is, it is true, though, isn't it, that an iPhone costs a hell of a lot less to make than it does to buy.
The reason why
the margins on it are amazing.
Do you know the point at which it stepped over that line from being consumer to being enterprise? It's when the people at the top of big organizations actually had an iPhone, their own phone. And I thought, if we can use it, if it could be so, we can make such good use of it here, why can't we use it in our organizations? And it's at that point, I think, that then this question started to be asked.
Well, as a professional, Apple, as in the hardware that they've made, and I know a lot of people argue with me, but as a professional that uses them, not because I like Apple, not because they're pretty, not because of this, that, the other, because they do a job for me. They haven't done a job for me for a very long time. They need to update the professional end. And they can make a very nice Retina display MacBook Pro 15-inch. Well, I don't care how small the dots are. 15-inch is not big enough for me to work on. I need a minimum of a 17-inch. So what do they do? Stop making those. I need an proper iMac, something with proper power. I need a new Mac Pro. All these things that they were famed for, all these things that they actually built their reputation and their company for, they've just sent us down the river because they'd rather sell another shipment, a container load
four
of
times.
Apple.
Yeah, four times as many iOS devices sold per year as Macs. That's what I just saw.
Fine, four times, great. Okay, it's not like they need to cut corners left, right, and center to keep their profit there. They're not going to go bankrupt overnight.
Well, they do keep their patents. You have to cut the corners, or else they'll lose their patent on the corners.
But they're sort of saying, okay, you need $100 billion. Yeah, they could throw a tiny, tiny, tiny bit just back at the people that put them where they were in the first place. But no, there's no recognition for where they come from.
If you've just tuned in, welcome to the Mac Show from the British Tech Network.
This is the anti-Mac Show.
The discussion was about how broken patents are and how they're costing us money to put them right. So, I mean, the question
is... Two questions, if I may, Ewan.
Yes, please do.
The first question is, do we only discuss patents when I'm on? And the other one is, right, where are all the iPhones now? Surely, like, there are more iPhones than there are people in the world. Are they being sent to the tidy tip already? Where are they all?
Apple haven't sold 7 billion iPhones, dude.
Well, you know,
they've sold 210 million.
Or total in the whole history of iPhones, they sold 210 million.
Yeah.
No, if I sold more than that.
No.
I saw at least half of that on the way to work this morning.
No, the maximum they've sold ever is 12 million a quarter.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, and that's where kind of, and that's where kind of then, you know, blows your mind to realize that like only like what, at most probably 5% of the world's population can even afford an iPhone. So then it's, you know, it's kind of bizarre.
And there's half a million Android activations a day.
So yep.
I bet people are starting to throw their old Android phones out though, because there are some that won't go above like 2.1 or even 1.5.
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, I just saw Apple started an actually very aggressive buyback and recycle policy, which is, you know, good for them as long as we're bashing them, but still.
IFA had a slew of transparent screens. There are screens. The Gucci one here, this is the Samsung version that's got the Gucci advert on it. That's incredibly clear and crisp. That's really, really nice because there's nothing but a white background behind it.
It's quite low res though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But my question would be, why on earth are we doing transparent displays? Because I can't see what the real benefit is. Because if you look at that picture there, you'd look at that and think, oh, well, those mannequins are on that picture. They aren't. The mannequins are stood behind because look at his arm. His arm's in front of them. So actually, what's on that screen is nearly impossible to see.
And the other photo you showed, it may have well just been like a, you know, what do you call it? Like a laminate sticker that goes on the window.
Well, I think that's the idea. I think if you're talking about a shop window that can have this kind of, you know, an enormous size, well, the shop window itself can be a projection screen and could have little people walking across the front in relatively low res and have the name of the shop on it. I think then, okay, that would be the application I could think of. But in terms of the public environment, I don't see how these screens can in any way function adequately.
You don't want to see through your TV and look at the wall?
I really don't.
But they're perfect HUD displays, aren't they? So, for instance, if you had that on the screen
of your car.
Yeah, of your car or on your glasses or anything. I mean, you know, there's plenty of you know, there's plenty of times you need to look through a window to see one thing but still need information. Security, that'd be great, couldn't you? You could be a security guard. You could be looking at people coming towards you instead of looking at a screen, and it could have whatever the information is. It could have the tracking on it. It could have this, that, and the other. There's loads of...
Could you do 3D with it? Like, have, like, four of them, one behind the other, and have, like, 3D images.
That's called animation. Sort
of maybe Tony Stark in the helmet with the little... You know?
No, but that's...
Yeah!
That's what you're looking at there is not a heads-up display. Because a heads-up display relies on you, on it being close to the eye so that it can distinguish in terms of a focal length. So that is, you know, the focal length, if you stood 8 feet away from that screen, the focal length between the mannequins behind and what's on that screen is going to be virtually irrelevant to your eye. It won't separate the two. And that is an awful, awful distinction between what supposedly is critical information and non-critical information. I don't see the point. I certainly wouldn't. If I was going to show a transparent screen at a show, I would show that. I would show the Gucci Samsung one against a pure white background so you could go, wow, I could see how that would work. The one that's there from, I can't even remember who did that one, if it's Toshiba or HSE or even Casca, because that's written on it, isn't it? That is just awful. If I showed that at a show, I'd have someone's job for that because it's awful. I really don't see why they, you know, there's a point.
So basically, this is a demonstration of the product of R&D. R&D does this. They come up with some clever idea and go, right, now make an application for it, which is brilliant, although it may actually, we may never actually see it.
Yeah.
We may never see it. Because, as you say, it's almost impossible to see.
I'd like a fish tank made of that.
What, so the
only fish then, do you?
What, so the, your fish could read the news each day?
No, so when you look at the fish, you could have like a little description of what each fish is as it goes past.
Well, who needs fish? You can just project the fish.
Well, that's the point. You have a real fish and you have a projected fish and you see how long it takes for the real fish to attack the projected fish.
Yes, you could have a Siamese fighting fish.
Cruel.
You could have a projected one and then you could drive the Siamese fighting fish mental by having this fake one swimming
around.
That
is cruel, guys. That is
evil.
You could
be pretending to be poking it with artificial fingers.
Alex, I've got the RSPCA on the line here.
Can I tell you my story about telly, by the way? Because one of the things this is demonstrating, obviously, is the fact that tellies are getting thinner and thinner. I mean, that down to the size of a piece of glass is about, without being able to roll it up, pretty much the thinnest a telly can get. I went to an open plan office where they have one of these flat screen televisions and I walked past it and it was literally 10 millimetres thick, absolutely bonkers thin. And I said, that is amazing. He said, well, that's fine, but we're getting complaints from people at the other end of the office. I said, why is that? It's because the speakers have to be on the back and therefore the people who are sitting in front of the telly, because it's an open plan office, can't hear because the speakers are beeping behind backwards and they haven't got a wall to bounce off. And so they have to turn it up really loud. So people who can't see the picture are getting the loudness of the sound, and people who can see it aren't getting anything.
That's how my LG works. It's got the speakers, they point downwards, but there's it's like there's a little bit at the bottom which has got a curve at the bottom that bounces the sound
it
forward
out and throws it at you.
Yeah, I was going to say our Panasonic's like that as well.
Yeah, so there's no speakers at the front. They actually point downwards and get curved round at you.
I have no idea how my TV works. I turn it on, eventually it warms up.
Yeah, once the valves start glowing, it's fine.
Yeah.
The quality, oh, CRT's coming back, I'm telling you.
405 lines of perfection.
CRT's the new high def.
Yeah. It's retro.
Is that a lot?
Oh, that's not, I've clicked the wrong one. Now then, Archos have released a 7-inch gaming tablet. I say release in inverted commas because I'm not sure that anyone's seen the physical of this. But, I mean, if it is to be believed, this is an absolute killer blow to the gaming market and the iOS market. It's supposedly a 7-inch tablet, come slate, running Android 4. It's got a 1.5 gigahertz quad-core Mali 4000 processor with a GPU attached. And it'll run up to 1,000 titles instantly from the App Store. It's got a 64 gig slot that you can add to, an 8 gig of internal space, mini HDMI connection for output to a TV, and it's less than €150, and dollars to euros is about 1-to-1 at the moment, just for Eric's benefit there.
Well, I tell you, if this that's real, we're having two for Christmas, and I'll get the kids one as well.
Archos have always made absolutely ferocious heart. Really, back in the days when I had the sort of the Creative Zen and the iRiver i600, Archos were coming out with flat screen tablets that you could record, not just play video on, but you could record video on. They have always really been at the forefront of fantastic technology, but they've never made an impact in the market. And I'm still not entirely sure why. And I think the reason why is because, not because of the price point, it's not because, I think it's just because they're a bit weird.
Who aren't just?
And people aren't going to pick up this thing and go, what the bloody hell am I going to do with that? Because I want to watch a film and I've got these little joysticks either side.
You just hold it onto it. I mean, thing is as well, it looks very plasticky, which would indicate it's, if it's an OLED screen as well, it's going to be quite light, I would have thought.
Mm. That looks almost too thin. That looks like maybe it's a little too thin of a graphic mock-up. But what you say is like $150. I mean, isn't that about the same price, if not exactly the same price as a 3DS or a PlayStation Vita?
I'd have got Vita in my head at in excess of £200, but I could be wrong at that.
Well, still though, in order to have that particular device become a success, wouldn't you have to make that particular device a success? You'd have to have, isn't that the secret to having a successful gaming platform? That's why Nintendo, Sony, and now Apple are able to do it, because they have a single hardware reference platform that game designers can specifically target and tweak to their heart's content to make the graphics sing on that particular platform, and then a robust store with all the built-in game center and app store and in-store upgrades and all that stuff. I don't even think Archos has had an official Google-sanctioned Android release, have they?
Well, they don't have to, though, do they? That's the whole point, is that they're providing a platform for playing Android, not looking for any approved releases for it.
Right.
But they've come up with a niche device. That's it. As soon as they've done that, they said niche device.
Yeah, it's just a device.
I
don't know whether it was just me, but this shows my lack of knowledge of game consoles, I suppose. But when I first looked at that, I thought, that's a Sony's PSP.
It's a massive one. It's huge. Yeah,
I didn't realize it was initially it was a tablet. When the picture was the first thing I saw on the article, and I thought, my God, it's a PSP.
I think the key separation there is that that's a 4:3 screen. It's a very flat screen. It's a very it's probably AMOLED, so it's going to be very, very clear and sharp. I'm interested in whether the 7-inch relates to the total dimension or whether it relates to the screen dimension. But if you're talking about a 7-inch at 4:3, that's a killer product, I'd say.
Mm.
It's an amazing product, but I think the tablet and the phone being places where you do casual gaming, and the fact is there are some amazing racing games for the tablet and for the iPhone, but you end up obscuring at least half of it with your fingers when you're trying to play it. The Archos avoids that, but people only maybe they leave the Archos in the toilet for their 5 minutes in the morning.
That is exactly right. I mean, there's a few games that are on iOS that are driving games where the steering wheel's on there and you rotate it around with your thumb, and there's times when you rotate your thumb over your own car and you can't see where you're bloody going. Alex, you look like you had a point there.
Yeah, I'd like two of these on the headrest at the back of the car. Keep the kids happy. They can watch films, right? Then they can pull them down. They can play on them, and they can play against each other on them in the back. You know, they will be begging, Dad, can we go out for a long drive, please? Dad, can we just go somewhere today? I don't care where it is. We don't want to actually get out of the car at the end. Maybe go to a drive-through McDonald's 50 miles away. Drive-through, get it. They can then eat and drink on the way back while still watching and playing the game. I think this would
Leisure time, kids.
I tell you, this would make... all they've got to do is they bring down the price of petrol.
What a treat, Dad! We love you!
I'll tell you what, they'd love it. And, so would I. You know, give them headphones and I could actually listen to something I wanted in the front. I love it. I think it looks brilliant.
I'm with Alex on this one. I mean,
it hasn't got corners that anyone can complain about.
Yeah, and the petrol would cost you more than to the devices as well.
Yeah, exactly.
My three-year-old has plays with the iPad. There's an iPad that my old iPad that the kids use. There's only educational stuff on there. There's no games or anything like that. But what you're talking about here, let's be really clear, if the dollar to euro to pound ratio works, this is a £100 7-inch tablet that's got access to the Android store, where probably 70% of the things that you can get on there that are worth having to play are free of charge.
That's exactly the point.
Well, do we know that for sure, though? Because the Arcos tablets that I saw a few years ago, they didn't used to have the Android market.
Well, if it has got access to Android market and you can get Android games to run it, which I can't think why you'd want to run Android if you wouldn't, because you'd run your own OS at that point, surely. If you're running the Android games on this, then it does say in the story it's compatible with Android games. Then
yeah, but do you really want your kids, though, searching all over the internet for, like, you know, all those malware-infested Android packages to install? I mean, look at this. I just clicked on Amazon. Nintendo 3DS ships by and sold from Amazon, $184. And I guarantee you that's a better game library than you're ever going to get on the Arcos machine.
Yeah, but, I mean, I have children that have all these games.
Alex first.
Is that me? I can hear, or someone else. The prices is the problem. You look on the PSP Vita, and you look at what's the other thing we got recently, the 3DS. The cost of the games are they're ridiculous. They are absolutely ridiculous. You look at this, you look at the price of an Android game or even an iOS game, but you look at the prices in comparison. You'll have this Asphalt 7 Heat on PSP and all the rest of it, and it will be 10 times the price that it will be on the Android.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to say that the spec of it, the dual-core processor and the quad-core GPU, for $150, even as a tablet, that is really competitive.
And it's killer.
Yeah.
Even as a tablet without the wibbly bits.
Surf the net and do all that sort of business.
I think I don't mean this disrespectfully, Eric, at all, but as a young guy with no kids, I don't think you really fully understand where three of us at least are coming from here. You've got $150 for a device which has a fantastic amount or library of free stuff that your kids can play, and stuff that you can buy that's relatively cheap anyway, even if it is pay, that you can give them to keep them very happy on a long journey for $150. For $300, for £200, my children are going to be happy with 4 hours of travel to the next holiday destination that we go to in October. I ain't even going to think about that, mate. I'm sorry.
And in fact, my kids are probably, if I gave them the option to save, you know, Christmas money, pocket money, this is the thing they would save up for, because it is pretty cool. As long as the only slight downside to this is the fact that there is a requirement for Arcos, however you pronounce it, to support the game interface. You know, they said they support up to 1,000 games already. So when the tablet is still alive, but support for the games goes end of life, I'm wondering if it might stop being quite so useful.
But it's still a tablet. That's the point.
Yeah.
The PSP is a PSP, and the DS 3DS is just a 3DS. I mean, yeah, you can go on the net with them, but it's the most horrible experience known to man. This thing is a tablet.
So would it be better if the controls were detachable?
No. It's fine.
No, I don't want them losing anything.
No, exactly.
Okay. No,
I want this actually glued to their hands.
Chat room saying, Ewan sounds like a very tired parent talking from experience. Yes, that is true. DT says, Alex G. Fox is responsible for 25% of all greenhouse gas emissions.
Thank you. Yeah. And we are talking the car, I hope.
Yeah, he's bankrupt from all petrol he buys.
No, I mean, there's a bit of this that's kind of too good to be true, but I think in terms of a killer product, if you look at all the people that are coming out with tablets and saying it's the next best thing, it's going to kill the iPad, they never are. There's not a chance of that.
Well, this is all down to the marketing, really.
This will take a huge market share. Where are they going to be
sold? When you go, where do I find Arcos stuff? Do I find them in Maplin? I find them perhaps in Toys R Us? Online. You don't see them on the front page of Amazon. Well, you won't see them on the front page of Amazon because they'll be trying to sell the Kindle Fire if they've got any in stock.
Thank you for that segue, James.
Yeah.
Because apparently Amazon have been at pains to tell everyone that the Kindle Fire has sold out. Honestly.
They only made 7 of them.
That's obviously clearly.
That's why.
And they've got a funny big thing coming up on the 6th that we all thought last week might be Glacier, but actually it might not.
Well, Amazon are doing this thing at the moment in the UK store, aren't they? They've just started having a deal of the day.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is all brand new. So it's all sort of building up to this. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they're coming out with some other new type of store. I don't know if they're linking their store. Maybe, you know, I wouldn't be surprised because of some other things I've been party to lately, that if they're not going to bring out an Amazon style, credit cardy style, PayPal style sort of thing that you can use via Amazon, but also use anywhere else.
Well, I've got an Amazon credit card because they made me get one because you get free £10 of Amazon voucher, but I never use it.
Sucker.
Yeah, it's just something that I've been dealing with lately. It's just there's lots of things that I've been working on, and one of them sort of links to this new deal of the day thing, and they're sort of slightly changing the way they're doing business. I think they may be going after some more high street shopping type business as well as digital download stuff. So, I mean, it may be hardware, but if it is hardware, then it's only going to be related to what they already do.
Mm.
That's all I know.
Interesting, though. I think that Amazon are fantastic as an online store and a bookstore. They do that very, very well. I've ordered a pile of stuff. I've bought a little GoPro HD, which just is stunning, unbelievably stunning. It's a great camera. And I've bought a whole pile of accessories, and it comes next day, and they've really got that supply chain thing sorted out. But I think the tablet is a reach too far for them at the moment. I think they don't do it well, and they're not a content vendor in that way. People will buy content, but they want to buy it for an existing device that they've got. They don't want to buy it for a specifically manufactured Amazon device.
What, you mean the Kindle?
Well,
I don't think so. Kindle for books, yes, maybe, but not for audio content.
Okay.
Eric?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, couldn't that same argument be used to say why Sony couldn't make a tablet, or LG, or anyone could make a tablet? If you say people are just into one thing, I mean, what would the Kindle Fire have to be in order for it to be an iPad competitor? If you're just saying it would have to be like stock Android, then yeah, they should just do that. But if they did that, do you think it would take off?
I don't think it would. I mean, I think the problem that you've got, this is where the Archos thing comes back to it a certain degree, is that no one's done something which is beyond what Apple's already doing. And there's two separated markets. Apple has cornered the 10-inch market for tablets, and all the other tablets are buying off chunks and fighting around for scraps and not making sales. And the fact that they've sold out of Fires when they haven't released it for worldwide release is ridiculous. They obviously clearly didn't make enough. I bet you we're still probably consuming what they estimated were going to be the release quantity of the Fire. And now it's gone. Well, let's come out with Fire 2. And Fire 2 is 10-inch, and we're going to go head-to-head with the iPad. They're not going to go head-to-the iPad. The iPad has got its own market, and nothing else will touch it. The thing with the Archos tablet is the fact that it has really come out with something which is different. It's an interactive, game-playing, 7-inch tablet that's tapping into a market that's free and cheap in a lot of cases. And that's what sets it apart, and that's what will give it traction and unit sales. But if you're trying to attack the iPad, you're trying to attack the iPad market, including the games that go along with it and the store that goes along with it. And I think that's an impregnable castle now. I think that really is a real problem.
Only if you come at it from the angle you're talking about. If Amazon do stick Android on the new Fire, or whatever they want to call it, and coming at it from the point of being a comfortable reading device, which you can then use other things on. So you come to it from the point of being a reading device first, and then having proper internet connectivity and some apps and some things like that, then there's a market for it. Because there's a lot of people that don't want the whistles and the bangs and the bright lights that come with an iPad. They want a reading device first. They want the most comfortable reading device first. And then it would be nice if it did a few other things, but they don't want to edit photos on it. They don't want to write music on it. They don't want to do any of these things on it, but they wouldn't mind some basic functionality that you get with Android and a few apps. And I think coming to it from that direction would be a really interesting idea, because I really do believe there's someone out there that wants to bring out something clever and say, if you want an iPad, go and buy an iPad. If you want something better, buy this. Or if you want something different, by this. But don't try and compete with them.
I would love you to be right there, Alex. I would absolutely love you to be right. But I don't believe for one second that Amazon have got that level of intelligence, because in releasing the Fire, they walked away from a market that they absolutely dominated, which was e-ink readers that people liked, loved, could use on the train, in bed. And my wife loves her Kindle, and she wanted it. When I gave it to her, she was desperate to hate it, and she doesn't. She loves it.
But when you say, when you say walk away, they are still selling hand over fist loads of
Yeah, I was going to say,
my dad got one for his birthday.
No, because what they wanted to do was have a colour tablet market that took over from it. I bet the whole master plan behind Amazon was to walk away eventually from the e-ink black and white Kindle. And the fact that it's still selling for them, they're saying, well, thank you very much. And that's why they've not sold the Amazon Fire, the Kindle Fire.
Yeah, but colour e-ink works very well.
Colour e-ink, though, is it?
That's what I'm saying. That is, I mean, colour e-ink was invented 2 years ago. I saw a demo of it. Now, if they could do a colour e-ink Kindle, which has got the functionality with Android to do some of the other things, then I reckon they really are onto a winner. Because like I say, if you want an iPad, buy an iPad. If you want something different, better, that does this, which isn't what the iPad is, then buy this. That's where they've got to come to. Because I tell you what, I want something to read on. I cannot stand reading on an iPad. I have tried. It's really a horrible experience for me. But every time I've looked at e-ink, it is such a pleasure. An absolute pleasure. A colour e-ink that could produce pictures of the quality of newspaper is all right for me, because I want to read on it. I don't want to sit there going on about how wonderful the Retina display is. I want to get my knowledge from it. I don't want to get a high from it. I don't want to get a buzz from it. I just want to get the knowledge off of it. So I need a colour e-ink reader which is capable of giving me 72 DPI, that's more than enough. That's more than you get off a newspaper.
Go back to what you just said, though. If you look at what really pissed off Apple and what really pissed off Jobs when the iPad hit, it was the fact they hadn't cornered the book market, because everything that they did after that was about improving the book experience, the whole page turning thing and all that kind of stuff. And they still didn't snooker it. They still didn't get that market because Kindle still had that market. And the big fatal error that Bezos has made is to walk away and try and go down the colour tablet market, whether it's e-ink or whether it's AMOLED, it doesn't matter. He had people who liked reading books buying Kindles, and there's a lot of people who liked reading books were buying Kindles. And
yeah, I wonder, because DT makes an interesting point in the chat room that they were spreading their risk, because I have seen that there are loads of other e-ink book reading software hardware, all of which are around about the 60-50 quid, so they're on a par with Kindle, and the market could easily have been saturated with it. It really could. Even Archos make one, but nobody buys that.
Yeah, because Kindle had that market snookered. That's my point. They had the outlet, they had the titles, they had everything. And Apple, I reckon it's killing Apple that they can't get a bigger piece of the book market. I reckon their slice of the book market is negligible in comparison to Kindle and Amazon. And Bezos, I mean, I can't remember whether it was Mamiya and Hasselblad or Hasselblad and Mamiya the other way around, Alex, but help me out here. But the early 80s, there was Mamiya ran articles, or Hasselblad ran articles slagging off Mamiya. And at the end of the campaign, when they stopped running the adverts, Mamiya rang up and asked the New York Times if they could carry on paying for the Hasselblad advert to run.
Exactly.
Because they'd sold more Mamiyas since Hasselblad started making that article. And that would be my point. I reckon that more people have turned away from Kindle and gone to iPad because of the Fire than they would have done if they'd have gone to Kindle. They'd have gone to Kindle, stayed with Kindle, capitalised on the market, and crush that market and pull people into an ebook reading experience, which was fantastic, and not let Apple in the door. And they haven't to a certain degree. But if they're not careful, they're going to let Apple in the market, because the Fire experience won't be as good as the iPad experience. Yeah, that's where the comparison comes.
Ewan, the thing is, I think that what's happened is that most people who have a Kindle will stick with a Kindle and wouldn't ever have bought a Fire anyway, like most, I imagine, most people here. I mean, I had a Kindle long before the Fire came out. So I've never, I've seen, I've played with the Fire, but I wouldn't even think about buying one because the Kindle does everything I want to do, apart from, as Alex was talking about, the fact that it's not colour. But in terms of reading a book, it's perfect. So I have no reason why I would consider buying a Fire anyway.
I think the next thing has to be called the Inferno, because they've gone to, from kindling to a little bit of fire. Now it's got to be an Inferno.
Yeah, good point. I agree. Furnace. Conflagration.
But what I'd like is an e-reader, which was a double-sided e-reader, which you actually open like a book. So you've got either side of the page, and then you can flick, and it flicks two pages at once. I'd like that.
that doesn't work.
Have a real experience of reading a book.
You only want to read odd pages? Is that what you're saying?
No. I want the left on the left and the right on the right, and then you're turning over a book. It's real.
Oh, come on.
So you put the page, put it together, and pull it apart again, and it's got another page in it. So exactly. That would work quite nicely.
Snap. Yeah. Very good. Go on, Sarah.
No, I was just going to say, I think the Kindle is fine. The Kindle, because it came out, if the Fire had come out first, I think you might have had a valid point. But I think because the Kindle came out first, most people who read books who are happy with the Kindle would probably have never gone with the Fire, which is probably why it never really took off anyway.
Mm. And the reason I haven't got a Kindle is because I don't read books. That is the only reason why I haven't got a Kindle, is because it would just be completely wasted on me.
I'm dyslexic. What the hell do I want a Kindle for?
Yeah, you need a Kindle with Siri.
I am not.
And both companies thought they were going to make a killing off of converting people's magazine subscriptions to digital e-subscriptions at the same price. And that has not taken off because people realize they don't like reading text on an LCD display, number one. And number two, they don't want to pay those high prices and deal with the goofy page turn flipping and everything and lack of hyperlinks and all this stuff that they're used to on the web just to get full screen color graphics. They say, who cares? I don't want to pay $5 a month for full screen color graphics if I can get better articles and an easier reading experience on the web. So those are the other things that periodicals and magazines that did not take off.
But maybe they've actually managed to tie in, all the major newspapers. Maybe they've tied them into something. Maybe they've tied in the British Library, the Library of Congress, I don't know what it is. Maybe they've managed to tie in, and maybe they've had a project to digitize every book between, the Bible and today. I don't know. But that's how they'll beat it, by making it a reading experience first and foremost, and a few little Android gadgets on top. Because I tell you what, the majority of people that want to read something do not, once they've had the experience of reading on something other than the iPad, they'd realise how appalling the iPad is in comparison to actually read on.
Yeah.
And it's something to do with the battery life as well. The battery life on the Kindle is formidable. It's brilliant.
It's incredible.
And it doesn't do anything else.
And it works in the sunlight.
And it works.
DT in the chat room says he usually agrees with me. Of all the crap that's been talked tonight, that's the biggest piece of crap at all, because DT never agrees with me. Utter rubbish.
But then again, he started talking about the Kindle e-phone with e-ink.
Yeah, I rest my case.
That would be silly.
This drivel and all the drivel that's spoken on this network is brought to you by UK2.net. They are a fantastic firm. They've kept us afloat now for 3 years plus, and they provide all the bandwidth that we need, and it's a huge amount of bandwidth. We've dipped a little bit on July because of the fact it's been August, silly season with holidays and stuff, but... We're still on an upward trend for bandwidth, and we love them to bits. We'd be lost without them. Please, please, please support UK2, because without them, I'd be getting a bill for around £300 a month for bandwidth, which I haven't got. The donations would barely cover that, I'm afraid. So please support them. What you need to do, let's talk to the panel. Has anyone on the panel ever had an idea, a website, that something that they wanted to buy? I'm looking to buy.
Yes, what? I have, and I have done, and I have used UK2 to frivolously buy all these silly ideas I come up with.
What was your project, Alex?
Well, my Twittery thing project.
Twittery thing, there we go. Let's have a quick look at Twittery thing.
Well, it's down at the moment, so I won't bother.
Twitterything.com has got nothing. Yeah, absolutely.
No, it's down at the moment.
Oh, well, there we go. So, if you want to buy a project...
mus-ic.co.uk the website is hosted on my home server, but uk2.net waived the DNS charge, so they I bought the name through them. They point the DNS server to my home network, and as long as it doesn't get swamped, my wife doesn't complain about the massive amount of traffic, which is unlikely to say the least, uk2.net have done a great job pointing people towards my website. So well done them.
There you go, you see. Any kind of rubbish that you want to come up with, any kind of thoughts that you've got for... No. I mean, any kind of silly business ideas that you've got. No, because everyone does this. They wake up in the night and they've got the business idea and they're like, I bet that's going to be a goer. And sometimes you wake up in the morning, you're like, actually, no, maybe that wouldn't be a good idea. And sometimes you wake up in the morning, you're like, maybe I should. Go and get the domain name. It's going to cost you a fiver. And then you're going to get 20% off that with UK2. Just go buy the domain name off them. You don't pay for DNS management. Everyone on British Tech doesn't pay for that. So you type in the relevant code for it. Go to our webpage first, britishtechnews.com, when you wake up in the morning. Click on the link that shows UK2. And then that'll open in another tab, and our tab will still be there. Go to sponsors, and a list of all the promo codes are there. And you get phenomenal deals on a lot of what UK2 offer. Then go back to UK2, buy what you want, get that name for that business that you've been thinking about. Even if you're never going to use it, it's a fiver to hold on to it for a year. Big deal. That's 2 years, I think, for a .co.uk, 5 years for a .com. And you get 20% off that. So you can't go wrong. UK2.net, please use them because they really do help us. They're fantastic. Thank you very much to them for their ongoing support. And we've got them for another 2 years. So
you renewed for 2 years, did you? Is that because you're a .co.uk?
We're .com, actually, aren't we?
Yeah, I know, it was a joke. But really poor.
Oh, very good, very good, very good.
BritishTechNetwork.com.
Sorry. UK2. Thumbs up. And you can buy it in America. You can buy it in Japan. You can buy it in Afghanistan. You can buy it wherever you like. Anywhere you've got an internet connection, UK2 will sell you internet service. Right then. It's time for the cool thing. Mr. Hart, what's your cool thing?
Well, I like playing with with the pointless things
Thank you for finishing that sentence.
I like pointless things. I like pointless things. I like things that make that go ding when someone comes to the front door. I've got a Nagios. Sorry?
It's called a doorbell.
I know.
Things that go ding.
Things that go ding.
It's the ones that go dong you don't worry about.
Anyway, this all comes down to the fact that you can get custom push notifications to your iPhone using a piece of software called Prowl. It's basically an iOS version of Growl. You can configure it using any kind. It's got an API, it's got a website. So you install it on your iPhone and you can send a message to it and it pings up on your iPhone. So it's completely customizable. If your television program's about to start playing or at home, if you want a reminder from a system that doesn't have push notifications,
really?
You can do it using Prowl. If you obviously need something in the back end, if you've got a VPS or you've got your own home server that is generating Prowl compatible things. But then again, most things are Linux based, so you can probably write a bit of shell script to do it. And it is all written in Perl, really easy to do.
I wake up in the morning and I think, I'm going to write some shell script.
What I've done is.
That's my line, Ewan.
I've got one of those OWL energy monitors, those things that that clamp onto your main supply to tell you how much energy is being used. If the power usage goes up over 1.5 kilowatts over 20 minutes, it means my wife's cooking me tea and it goes ding on my iPhone to let me know that my wife's cooking me tea. How's that? Oh, she's put a wash on.
You are quite possibly either the most geeky person I've ever met or the saddest person I've ever met. You monitor your...
Can I
your,
come up here every week?
You monitor your kilowatt hours so you can figure out whether your tea's getting ready.
Absolutely. Why the hell not?
Damn, I wish I could do that.
I'd call that geeky, actually.
That's lucky.
Lucky you haven't got a gas oven.
Back when she's calling me a sick puppy for thinking about writing shell script. Shell script for me is the slime trail that an oyster leaves on the inside. I have no clue what shell script is.
I thought that's when you wrote Sergio Tacchini on your tracksuit.
Could be.
I'm assuming I'm not the only one here that knows how to write shell scripts.
No, I do as well, Sarah, don't worry.
I thought you probably did, yeah.
There you go, you see. So Prowl is free of charge?
It's about a couple of quid, but it's well worth it if you want to do custom push notifications to your iPhone. Very useful in a corporate monitoring session, because if you've got an Agios system and you don't want to be bothered by emails, phone calls, text, you can get push notifications from the Agios system, and that's what I use at work.
Does that run in parallel with your renal system? No?
I thought you did technology.
No, I don't.
It's just a myth.
Alex Rodriguez is also saying in the chat room, you can also try IFTT, which will do a similar kind of thing, which we used to have set up, but they stopped it for some reason. I don't know why they've cut it back, but there we go. Good pick, sir. Very good pick. Foxy, we've sprung it on you, mate. You came on with like 10 minutes to go as a late replacement.
I thought loads of crap lately. I better not say too much because I've only paid for some of it. Right. I mean, I bought loads of crap. I put some new networking down to my new room at the end of the garden because I got sick of Wi-Fi. And I used Amazon. And I cannot believe how cheap various sort of Ethernet making wiry tools and things are on Amazon. Just for an example, I got one of these big crimper tools, which does all the Ethernet stuff. It came with a circuit tester for either end of it, all the, 10 sets of clips here and 10 sleeves and things. I think it cost me about it was less than that. It was £7.78 for all of that.
So what, including the tester?
Yeah, including the tester.
Whoa!
I know. It's quite impressive. I bought a new studio microphone arm, which was tweeted out by our friends on the iOS show, Paul Wheatley. That was amazing. That was £35, including delivery, for a really nice microphone arm. You know, it's all balanced and everything. That's quite incredible. But the thing I actually want to mention, right, because of I'm not always bad-mouthing companies when I don't like them, only Apple. But I used Rapid Weaver years ago for just helping some people out to make some sites because I was being really, really, really lazy. And, you get all these plugins, you get all these add-ons and various things. And I wrote a site for someone a while back, and I'm not sure why it happened, but, to do with the update of various things, part of what I'd written had stopped working, and it was a particular plugin for Rapid Weaver, and it was by SymphonyP. I think that's how you say it, SymphonyP. Okay. And it was a rotating header, which I did with some graphics, and it's very good and it's lovely. And it stopped working. So I think Monday morning, I just buzzed off a help desk email to them and I said, look, this isn't working. And I said, I've just gone onto one of your old test sites and it happens to not be working on that as well. I don't know if you're aware. And within about 5 minutes, I got an email back saying, thank you very much. And I can see your website and I can see our website. And we're really sorry. I'll get back to you. And about 2 hours later, I got an email and I read it wrongly. And it said, this query is now closed. And I was thinking, how rude. And then I sort of looked down and it said, we've rewritten this plugin and we've made the update available and we've now resolved the issue and we've rewritten the JavaScript and everything. And I sort of turned on the Mac and I fired up Rapid Weaver and I just put update. And as I said, the update was available. I clicked update, relaunched it, re-uploaded it, and they'd fixed it. So within 2 hours, it actually rewritten a piece of software for me, made available the update, made it available to everyone, in fact, obviously, and fixed it. And I just thought that was such amazing service. I thought it was worth mentioning. Because I know a lot of people use Rapid Weaver and Symphony IP, whoever they, wherever you pronounce it, they do make an awful lot of, plugins for Rapid Weaver. And I just saying their help was second to none. I just thought it was incredibly nice thing to do and so quickly.
Excellent.
Just as an aside, Alex, I find that there are some companies who, if you download an Android or an iOS application and you have a query or a question about it, you'll send an email and get an email back from a real person who's interested in it.
Oh, yeah, this was a real person.
It's just
amazing,
isn't it? Yeah. I think it's opened out a new world of customer service that we could learn a hell of a lot from. And I think the reason for that is because people are writing it because they love it and they're interested and enthusiastic about it.
I hate to point it out to you, James, but talking to people is not a new form of customer service.
Do you know what?
It's the original form.
Do you want to know the secret of good customer service? When you got a problem, be nice to them. I don't think they created this to create me a problem. They created it to make some money, obviously. But I was nice and polite in the way of saying, look, this isn't working anymore. Do you think there's anything you can do to help? And they were, of course we can. And they did. But, there's too many people, the first thing they do is, how dare you write this pile of crap, it doesn't work, you should all go to hell and your children should burn on a fire. Because people's attitudes absolutely stink when they want help from someone. Really? They find it offensive that something doesn't work. Well, if something doesn't work, most of the time, it's not through choice. So be nice to people, and it's amazing how nice they'll be back to you.
I think the problem is, Alex, is that most people actually get irate when they actually get bad after they get bad customer service.
Bad customer
they don't
service.
Go out being nasty to start with to an organisation.
Well, I've got to be honest, I don't get very much bad customer service, but then again...
You probably don't get into real shops. Real shops are the worst place to get customer service now.
Guess you're from Essex and they're scared to death of you.
Well, no, but you know, for instance, people complain about Virgin. I've had like the directors of Virgin phoning me up and saying, look, I'm very sorry about your problem. You know, I spoke to such and such who you spoke to and he told me how, you know, how... I don't know what the word reasonable you were on the phone. I would like to phone up and say, sorry about your issue. We are working on it right now. And I just wanted to thank you for being so reasonable about the problem. I've had those phone calls and it's because I'm reasonable. And I think you reap what you sow. If you're horrible.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Alex.
But anyway, that's my experience. Tomorrow it will all change, I'm sure. But in general, it works. And Symphonia P are wonderful.
Excellent. Right. Thank you for that. It's got very hot in here now. Sarah, what's your cool thing, girl?
My cool thingy is, I know it's been around for a while, but I'm a bit late to the party, which for me is quite surprising. But it's quite simply the Amazon app for Android. I discovered it this week, early one morning when I was looking at the Amazon site, and it told me that there was an app, which I obviously had missed previously, installed it. Fantastic. Much easier experience for you using on a mobile than trying to order something on a mobile from Amazon. Absolutely love it. And as I order a lot of stuff on Amazon, absolutely brilliant. Installed it straight away. Love it.
Now, did you mean the Android app store, as in the one where you could buy Android software? Because that's just been released as well.
Yeah, this is specifically the front end for their shopping experience on Amazon, the website.
Additional to that, they've got a store. They've literally reached today, or in the last couple of days, you've managed to hit the nail on the head. There is now an Amazon app, Amazon Android app store where you can buy Android apps. And today's free app is Angry Birds ad free.
Oh,
check it out!
Angry Birds.
That's interesting. Right now. And of course, the only downside is if you haven't got a credit card registered on your Amazon account, which I don't know if I have or not, for the Android Amazon app as opposed to the Amazon Android app. Oh my goodness.
Have you been drinking?
I have, obviously. But it still doesn't make any bloody sense. There's two different applications, right? There's one, which means you can buy stuff off Amazon using an Android app. But the other one is an Android app which you can use to buy Android applications off Amazon. And that one is the one that's just been released in the UK. It's got a free app every day, but you have to register your credit card with them. And as I recall, what happened was when it originally launched, it had some really great applications for free, which is why I would recommend anybody to get onto the app store and start it now. But as it went on, it deteriorated because people, they had the credit card details of people, and it would be this one-click order thing, and it would be very convenient for them.
Oh, but it's not showing on my... Google Play Store. It's got the MP3 and the Amazon mobile for Android.
Amazon App Store. There you go. And today, free. Today's free app, Angry Birds, free. And it is British. Free. For example, look. He wants to be a millionaire for free.
Amazon
New
app
Star
Store
Software, for... £1.69, look.
Amazon App Store for Android, not coming up.
I've got no idea why, but Alex seems to think that writing something in the chat room is not going to get me to read it out.
That's all right. You can read it. I didn't want to be rude.
I knew a transsexual traffic warden in Soho, that says enough already, who used to sit on my car when I went to get a coffee, so no other warden would give me a ticket. I just talked to him/her nicely. She did this daily for me.
Yeah, she was lovely. And everyone else used to come over and sort of, it's her, and mouth off at her. And, you know, why? Just be nice to people. And incidentally, I thought Ann Summers used to have a thing called the Play Store. Or was that something different?
I thought you were going to say Ann Summers used to have an inflatable traffic warden.
Well, you know, some people are into
it. It's all right. The chat room's gone on to inflatable dolls, so there we go. Now, for 4 weeks running, Eric Lanigan has pulled out some stunning picks. And he's going to top it off with...
Google the phrase, now you're knitting with power. Now you're knitting, like knitting.
Now you're... knitting starts with a K. Knitting with
power. This is something that power. I just learned about. Instead of paying attention to everyone else.
Game spasm.
You cheeky bugger.
I saw this on the corner of Engadget, and I thought, that can't be real. And this whole time I'm sitting here going, that's a fake. And I keep tracing back the source, and it sure looks real. It's on a site with a bunch of other Nintendo prototype early advertisements before the look of the machine was finalized. And according to the Facebook page and the person posting this stuff, it's the real deal, posted by a guy who used to work with this advertising agency in the early 80s when Nintendo was first coming to the US. And there was a knitting peripheral for the Nintendo Entertainment System. I sort of thought this was fake. It says, you're looking at the Nintendo knitting machine. It's not a game. It's not a toy. It's a machine that interacts with the powerful Nintendo Entertainment System to actually knit sweaters. Not just one or two patterns, but a multitude of different and unique designs. It's just one example of the innovative thinking that keeps Nintendo at the cutting edge. Now you're playing with power Nintendo.
I have a picture of this. Just give me a second here to show this. This is real. I'm jaw dropped. No, this is a real advert. I can't get over that. This is the knitting attachment for the Nintendo, the SNES. I kid you not. That is Lanigan. You never cease to amaze me because you've come out with some stuff in the last few weeks, which you never do anyway. Tonight you started. You had nothing to offer, and you pull this out. And this is earthquake, mate. I'm sorry, but that is the coolest pick we've had all year.
You sure you weren't trying to look up electronic knit combs?
this is the wrong time of the year for this, Ewan, because this needs to it needs to come in the crap for Christmas.
But it needs to be in the shops.
This is what Amazon are going to be relaunching on the 6th,
the Amazon knitting peripheral for the Kindle Fire.
Yeah, it's going to be I can't think what Amazon, they don't prefix
it,
things, don't
it
they?
It could be. That's what
could be the E-Knit.
It could be what Apple's doing on the 12th of September, allegedly. No iPhone
or
5.
Or the E-Knit if it's Apple.
It's a knitting peripheral from the Mac App Store.
Yeah, exactly.
Lanigan, you've outdone yourself, mate. Well done, sir.
Now you're knitting with power.
You've outdone yourself. My cool thing is a Focus gear ring from Link Delight on eBay. There you go.
Niche.
If you've got a lens for your camera and you're shooting a bit of video and you want to do manual focus, then what you do is you take this thing, and it is rather cumbersome and big. It doesn't work with the pancake lens because it's about three times wider than the pancake lens. But basically, you pull it on and screw it down here onto your lens, and then it gives you nice smooth manual focus of your lens. It works absolutely beautifully on my 70-200, and it works really, really well on my 135 2.0 lens.
Like some
it looks
kind of
beautiful.
Medieval torture device.
Well, I've bought half a dozen of them because they're only about £1.35 each, and Link Delight's got some fantastic stuff in there that's dirt cheap. But you just snip that off when you've got it. So I've got one for each of the lenses. But it just gives you
control of your focus. That's
it gives you
neat.
Very fine control of your focus because normally
Alternatively, you could go and buy a big Jubilee clip and screw a big screw in the top of it. Or you know them plastic cable tie things that you snap off. Of your
right, hang on. Just before you all start throwing shit around here, I need to beat that.
Yeah, that's very good, Ewan.
You can cut that with a pair of scissors as well in half, so it's very much slimmer, which I need to do for my pancake lens because it doesn't fit the pancake lens. But there you go. It's from Link Delight. It's an eBay shop. I'll put the link in the show notes, and Miles will post it up when he gets there. And I'm trying to find the price. But it's like £1.35. It's stupidly cheap.
Wow.
I can't remember what it exactly is. But
and I imagine it has a number of applications around the house.
Yeah, I'm sure you could put it around.
You could open jars with it.
Oh. You know, there you go. Old person's jar opener.
I'm sure it comes with a knitting attachment.
I understand. Everything does. Things do now. Yeah. say that.
I bought.
Hey, does that Arcos tablet for 150 come with a knitting peripheral? I doubt it.
Yeah, it comes with a knitting game, though.
That's because Nintendo have patented it.
This cost me 14 quid for four of them.
So no, that's patented, not patented.
It's under 4 quid. I didn't talk over your picture, buggers.
Do you think Apple have patented the word patent?
Raising a patent against an idea is now patented.
Well, they did. I think they did patent the idea of filing a patent, so they got that one.
Before it goes any further, where can we get a hold of you, James?
Oh, yeah, you can get hold of me.
Oh, wow. You like.
SYZYGY, Syzygy on Twitter. Excellent. Pronounced Syzygy.
Thank you, sir. Foxy, where are you, mate?
Alex G. Fox on Twitter would be lovely. Thank you.
Welcome, sir. Sarah, where are you, girl?
I'm sometimes at Sarah Jane UK on Twitter. And obviously, this weekend, we're back with the F1 show as well.
Yeah, we are. Eriklanaign, where are you, sir?
Do you think it actually knits an 8-bit, like with the jagged edges and everything?
Okay, don't go overboard now.
Maybe it knits in the Minecraft style.
You aren't going to sleep tonight, are you, mate?
I got to find this thing.
I got to get one of these.
Just think of the hipster
if you don't
clothing
come on the show
made.
Next week, Eric. If you don't go on the show next week, Eric, wearing something you've knitted.
He's going to have a giant space invader on
just
his chest.
Just think of the retro chic hipster clothing that could be made with this device.
Did everyone's mother have a knitting machine?
Yeah, my mum did.
Yeah, my mum had a blue thing that folded open and it had big hoops that the wool came in. And she had this slider. She just goes, shoop, shoop, goody, shoop, goody, shoop, and it'd go backwards and forwards.
Hours on end.
Mate, they were like modern looms, weren't they?
I feel like I'm missing out now.
They took your arm off, I. Absolutely.
We actually did have a loom.
Oh, we were never allowed near it.
They're
absolutely.
Like a carding
lethal,
machine.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Is that the thing that used to sit next to the soda stream?
Oh, I have a soda stream.
We've still
get
got
busy. Oh, get busy with the fizzy, mate. Yeah. I'm telling you.
We threw away our piano when we got a stylophone.
Eric, soda streams went out before you were born. They'd been and gone.
No, they're back.
Are they back?
They're back. I saw an advert. Some other company has brought back the soda stream.
Alex, I hate to tell you this, but we still got the stylophone here.
Yeah, I bought one for the kids for a joke, and no, they won't even play with it.
Sharon bought me a stylophone for Christmas.
I'm talking about one of the original ones we got.
I had an original one, and it broke, so Sharon bought me a new one.
Yeah,
it sounds the same.
Metal on it,
the tone of the plastic hasn't changed the tone of the overall machine, I promise you. We'll be back again tomorrow. We got the photo show at 2. Mr. Newsom's going to join me and Mr. Forsman as well. Foxy, you're not here, are you?
No, I'm going to spend some time with my family.
You've missed the Android Revolution, mate. Last week and this week.
You were really late on that. I was going to tweet you and let you all of that and know all about it. But
well, no, we talked about it last week for the Nikon, and the Samsung came out on Sunday or Monday, I think. So we're going to talk about that this week. And then we got the back show at 3:30. We got Kelly Gimmett on from the unofficial Apple weblog. She's a very new guest. But she's great. She's prepped for a bit of abuse, I think. There we go. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.